Live from the Momo Pizzeria and Ristorante Studios at 44th and O. Morning radio for the entire capital city. This is LNK Today with Jack and Friends on the Voice of Lincoln, 1499.3 KLIN.
All right, greetings. Welcome in Thursday morning, March 21st, 2024. We have got temperature starting out your show of 29 degrees. On our way, mid-50s again today, and actually not all that windy, so I might get some sprinkles in there, but not too bad. Not too bad before we get the weekend here. Although, wow, Mark, I see the temperatures here for this weekend. High of 56 on Monday now, or Sunday? High of 56 on Sunday?
I got to check that because the one I'm looking at says 45.
56 is national weather, weather.gov. It's our government. Why would they tell us something that's not true? It says .gov, it's automatically true. That's always been my life rule.
Well, so, my weather.gov says high of 48.
Oh, really? That's weird. So the government's telling us two things. Interesting.
Stop the steal.
They're putting out different information to different people. That's interesting.
Where are you guys registered at as voters?
Now we got a.
does that determine what kind of information you're getting?
Maybe that's it. Want some people to think things are going really well right now. Things are going great. The economy's booming. The sun's out. The weather's nice.
You sure you don't have Galveston weather there?
No, Lincoln Municipal Airport is what it says. Current conditions, Lincoln Municipal Airport, and extended more. And I put in my zip code. If that, my home zip code, I put 68506 in there, so maybe that's the difference. Well, anyway, yeah, sorry that your part of town isn't going to be so nice.
Well, I am further north than you are.
That's right.
Right now,
that's
about, right. What, 10, 15 feet?
Well, it looks, I think you mentioned something that maybe those temperatures were trending a little bit warmer, and they look like they might be, but that'd be good. That'd be all right, but still, all of the precipitation appears still to be in the forecast, which would mean it to be a rain event, definitely a rain event. Lows 36 and 37 are what they say now for Saturday night and Sunday night.
90% chance of rain on Sunday.
And Monday night low. Now, Monday night's low of 21, so that's when we get busy. But maybe not as cold as we thought. We'll see. We got a lot more important things to talk about today on this Thursday morning. It is a Thursday, meaning Ticket Thursday. It is the return of Generation Collaboration. This is the second to last Generation Collaboration. We're going to go through March.
Sometimes called penultimate.
The penultimate Generation Collaboration. At stake prize-wise today is...
multiple tickets. Husker baseball against New Mexico State.
Nice. And as I just said, the weather will be beautiful for that. So
on Sunday.
There's okay. No more. We're giving away those. So
that'll be good for a makeup game.
Yeah, sure. So they'll bring New Mexico State in later in the year, I'm sure. So we got that today. We got Grow Lincoln. We got Greg Sharp. But my goodness, guys, we got a lot to talk about. Here we are, yesterday, I at least buckled in ready for a long month or two of searching for making sure you've got a president. At very least 30 days of vetting a presidential candidate, but maybe even starting this whole presidential search way over. And then after that's over, you get the president, and then you got to search for an athletic director, a nationwide search. This is going to define our spring and summer, ladies and gentlemen. These two very important spots that need to be filled, we'll be discussing and vetting and debating and checking resumes. And actually, it turns out they did it within a half hour all tomorrow, right after the show ended.
Yeah, instead, it defined the 9 a.m. hour on a Wednesday.
What do you know? What do you know? Yesterday, the very day where we suggested the show should go to 9:15, it could have went to 9:15 and we could have had all the news. But that's neither here nor there right now. Nebraska has a priority candidate for its university system president. That is Dr. Jeffrey Gold.
And he is no stranger to the university.
The chancellor at UNMC. And
at one time, he was chancellor of both UNO and UNMC.
Yes. Yes. He has got, and he's got beyond that, even beyond that, a very significant resume. So that that move was made yesterday. We can talk a little bit more about how that plays into our theories of everything that was happening in the background if we want to do that. But even before that, while the Regents were still in their closed session, word leaked through national reports that Nebraska had hired an athletic director, and Troy Dannon was a name that we all had to say, ha, time to Google that guy and see exactly who he is. I'll admit it. If you had asked me who Washington's athletic director was, I would have said, I have no idea, but he just hired a new football coach. Uh-huh. I know that.
Yep.
I know that. And that was correct, but that's all I would have been able to tell you. Troy Dannon was that guy, spent a long, grueling 6 months at University of Washington.
Well, what a time up there. Just
October of 2023 to yesterday. And prior to that, he was at Tulane. Prior to that, he was at Northern Iowa. We have so many Iowans in line for this athletic director position. There's just, we can continue to go to Iowa as much as we need to fill this spot.
Just a pipeline. Just
as I would said on Twitter yesterday, binders of Iowans are available.
Don't you think it's a kind of nice that they choose to come to Nebraska?
It is. It is good. And it's interesting that this guy, we got on Trev Alberts a little bit, or at least mentioned, observed, that he appeared to go to something that was close to a lateral move, in the ballpark of a lateral move. This kind of looks the same way for Washington to Nebraska. Yeah. Both in the Big Ten, or both will be in the Big Ten. Washington is just playing in a national championship in football. I'm sure there are differences, and I'm sure he's getting a raise, but it's kind of like what Trev did to some degree. And, it's interesting to ask the question why. He does have family who are from this area. Someone
who had not moved out with him.
That's
yet.
What I had heard.
Yeah.
His wife still wasn't out there?
Correct. So, I actually have some audio on that.
That's interesting. Now, I've got a theory on all of this, why this was the guy and why it happened so quickly. Because we talked yesterday, we were talking to John just minutes before this happened yesterday, about how we figured a president would be in place before that they hired an athletic director, because we said, well, number one, the president is going to want to do that to figure out who he is working with. And the athletic director is going to want to know who his boss is.
Uh-huh.
Well, not so fast. Apparently that wasn't the case at all.
But it was almost simultaneous announcements yesterday.
Right. Right. So here is my best theory on how they got to this guy for athletic director and how they did it and why they did it so quickly. I had said on this show, as we've talked, and Caleb, I think you've been in these conversations with me, that I think the opinion of Matt Rhule matters in this athletic director search.
Yeah.
I think it's important. I think it's very important to keep him here and not have him have someone come in, as has happened with the last several athletic director, where really their job was kind of to fire the football coach.
Yep.
And start over in football. This needed to be a very different feeling. Like, this guy needed, or gal needed, to be coming in and have Matt Rhule's complete confidence. That, for better or worse, that is incredibly important, I thought, for this thing. And I think they thought the same thing at the university. I think they asked Matt Rhule, what he thought, what he wanted. And I think he mentioned during during that press conference pre-spring football
on Monday, where he talked for like 12-14 minutes. Yes. Straight before
when he was talking about what he wanted, he referenced Dr. Patrick Kraft. This is the Penn State athletic director. He was Rhule's athletic director while he was at Temple. Patrick Kraft was also at Temple as same time Tulane was. Mm-hmm. Same time that Troy Dannon would have been at Tulane.
Yep.
You do a little Googling and you find out these two were pretty good buddies.
Yeah, their paths crossed.
They not only do their paths cross, they are good friends. Mm-hmm. I read an Athletic article about how good of friends that they are. That was published a few years back when Kraft was named for this. My guess is that Kraft put in a strong recommendation to Rhule and to the University of Nebraska for Dannon.
Mm-hmm.
And Rule, I think, trusts Kraft. Maybe he wanted to bring Kraft here, and that wasn't going to happen. And Kraft suggested Dannon. This is what I think. And because Rule wanted someone that was going to be Kraft or Kraft adjacent.
Yes.
Perhaps.
And it doesn't hurt either that as you're looking for cohesiveness across your athletic department, that the men's basketball coach had familiarity with the athletic.
He knew him too.
Well, as a matter of fact, Troy Dannon coming in refereed Fred Hoiberg in high school.
Yes. Yes. So there was familiarity at least those two levels.
But yeah, Matt Rule's carrying a lot of weight, his voice is right now.
I'm sure.
And we expected it to.
I think that's what happened. And the speed with which it happens, honestly, makes me think there might have been some phone calls that happened prior to Wednesday when Trev left.
Uh-huh.
Right? I mean, because otherwise, I mean, you didn't even have an interim athletic director until Friday, right? Friday at that point? So, I mean, did they really in a period of, what, 4 days or something like that, make an initial contact with Dannon? And in that time, he decided he was coming mm-hmm. and didn't talk to anybody else? Like, I don't know. There had to be some legwork done on that prior to the Wednesday of Trev leaving eight days ago.
I'd be interested to hear whether from Dannon or from Chris Kaborik, the interim system president, who's had a busy week between him and LeBlanc extending both men's and women's basketball coaches
yes.
through 28-29. But when did that process necessarily start
yes.
for Kaborik as interim president, getting to go through and have the power, make a lot of these decisions? Was it immediately last Wednesday? Were there any conversations prior? Or was it just Matt Rule continuing to have a good relationship with him if he kind of knew something was coming? But like he got a call from Trev Alberts while he was overseas.
Yeah, yeah. I think they all knew that this might happen at some point.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if they knew it would happen to another athletic director position. But they all knew that, or wanted to at least be prepared for the eventuality that Trev Alberts was going to leave that spot open.
Mm-hmm.
They appeared to be ready for it. That's my observation from looking at what happened. So now you've got Jeffrey Gold. He's got a month, okay, where he does the tour, right? The town halls, the talking, the everything else. Regents, I would expect to give him a vote of confidence after that. He would take over if that happens as the university system president going forward. And by the way, would also be Jeffrey Dannon's boss. I don't know if they've talked or if they know each other or anything like that. That's always the thing that made me wonder why they would do it so soon. But mm-hmm. perhaps everyone's fine with that situation. And in Gold, they get someone who's done a lot of building over the, I mean, all you got to do is go to Omaha, right? And see what UNMC looks like over the last few years. And I think it'll be interesting to hear all the reactions from the university, you know, community itself, the academic part of it, from the things that some of the influencers in politics want for the university. The Regents seemed really happy with it, obviously, even though they appeared to be deadlocked on it for prior to this, that there was at least some of them who had wanted someone else.
And we're in executive or closed session for about an hour.
Hour and a half.
Yeah, a long time. But then they all talked and they all seemed to be on the same page about this. I mean, and by the way, you had Regent Scheer get up at the very beginning and said, oh, by the way, this search didn't take that long.
Right.
Essentially. And he kind of outlined the whole thing, how they extended it because it was going on during the holiday to try and find some more people who were interested. Mm-hmm. And so it appeared to be a rebuttal to claims made by some, including the governor, who said that this thing wasn't happening fast enough, which I found interesting as well. So here we are. So much for our summer of searching, guys.
Well, good. Got that out of the way.
I guess we're all set now for this thing. And boom, boom, boom. Matt Rule said he wanted urgency in these things. I guess he got that. Got basketball coaches resigned. You got an athletic director hired. You got a priority candidate for president ready to go. And by the time, you know, by the time we get to May 1st, everything's going to be in place for the summer.
We're going to get to the spring game for football and go, well, everybody's here.
Yep.
Nothing, no one to search for.
Yeah.
I just think it's interesting that the interim university president and the interim athletic director extend those contracts of the basketball.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It surprised me. Yeah.
When you look back. By the way, Dannon goes from $1 million salary in Washington to $1.6 million here.
Cha-ching! Also, Nebraska made a profit on the buyouts as well. they had to pay some of the buyout to get Washington,
but
they
got
a much bigger buyout from Texas A&M for Trev. So it's like flipping AD, right? We're going to fix this thing up and flip it on the market.
They went, all right, we got $4.7 million to work with. Who's out there?
Yep.
You know the old saying, follow the money.
Yep. For sure. All right, there you go. That's what's going on this morning. Got to check sports. Much Madness results. Sound off coming up after that. And don't forget, Ticket Thursday at 7:10. Generation Collaboration. We'll get going and take your calls then. 6:24 right now on KLA.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
A look at news from both inside and outside of Lincoln, and conversation on how that news affects us here. It's time for the Sound Off on LNK Today.
This is just two guys doing a radio show, watching baseball in Korea. It's kind of like, it reminds me of COVID, because after about a month of COVID, about this, maybe it was a little later than this, probably into April, we started watching baseball games that were still going on in Asia that were live every morning, because we just needed to see some sort of sports that had been completely gone in the United States. And every morning we were watching, Rakuten and some of the other. I think it was technically the Chinese league. This is in Korea. It's Major League Baseball, but anyway, watching baseball this morning. Getting excited. Make sure you get your brackets done, folks.
Yeah,
late at night, I was like, "Whoa, I need to fill out a bracket here." I've been so wrapped up in the presidential and athletic director search, and my own team being in both of the brackets, that I haven't even taken the time. Like I usually my focus is that's all I have to kind of look forward to, is how my own bracket is doing. But with the team in there, that's kind of taken. That's been pushed to the side a little bit, so
I haven't
don't forget like I almost did.
I haven't touched my bracket since I filled it out Monday. My daughter filled one out, I just let her kept tapping all the way
through. Who's she got winning it?
Her final four is Drake, Nevada, Western Kentucky, and Gonzaga.
Okay.
And Gonzaga winning it. My wife filled one out yesterday.
Yeah?
She's got Iowa State winning it.
Oh, jeez. All right. Okay. That's interesting. Might want to throw that one in just in case they stay hot from the big 12 tournament.
I've got Marquette.
I always do this thing where I'd Marquette, huh?
Yeah.
If they get their guy back, that might happen.
Yeah. I kind of like Auburn though.
That's who I'm picking.
Yeah.
I never want to go with the top pick, so I'm no Houston, no UConn. I was staying away from those, and so Auburn was the one that I landed on. Mm-hmm. So we will we'll see. But yes, games get going already. Productivity alert in the office, guys and gals. Productivity alert. Long lunch alert.
I remember when the NCAA site that you could go watch all the games had work at work mode.
They called it a boss button.
Yes.
You press like F10 and it looked like you were working on a spreadsheet.
Yes. In college, we had study tables.
Yeah.
You go sit in the back of study tables, and the tutor supervisor would come around for all the student athletes.
Yeah.
So you had to do so many hours a week.
Yeah.
I loaded up all my hours onto the Thursday and the Friday of this week and just went, chilled at the back with the computer up, headphones on.
Oh,
they'd
man.
Come by. Yeah, working on, I got statistics here.
Man, pre-internet days, I remember the days of high school when, like, rumors would start to sweep the among the college basketball fans in the school. Like, I heard Kansas is losing. It's like 11:45 in the morning. Like, hey, I heard Kansas is down 10, and there's no way to verify it, so you just tell someone else at that point.
The number of teachers we had that just had the TVs on in their, classes.
Nice.
Like, school productivity was gone for that Thursday, Friday.
One year, this wasn't the NCAA tournament, it was the conference tournament when Nebraska was in the Big 8 tournament playing during the day, back when they were having that sort of success in the early 90s.
Uh-huh.
I remember taking a Walkman, okay? Like, the old school Walkman. They weren't that small then, but I somehow got it in a pocket that I had, and then I took the wire, so the earbuds didn't exist then, but they did have, do you remember the little headphones that were really thin and had headphones that looked like they're about the size of a quarter?
Yeah.
So you could disconnect those from the actual headset, like the headband part, and I wired that single headphone into my hand under my shirt and held it in the palm of my hand.
Like through your sleeve?
Through my sleeve, up through my shirt, through my sleeve. And then I would sit at my desk with my head on my hand.
So it just looked like you were just resting yourself.
So just like I was just resting my head, I was listening to basketball. Kids, don't do that. Although you probably couldn't these days.
No. Well, nowadays.
That's the equivalent of sneaking my phone into class now, I guess.
I mean, now you wouldn't have to run the wire through. You can Bluetooth it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. We got to do the sound.
Okay.
Oh, but we, first of all, no, you know what? We don't yet. Penelope's Little Cafe is officially going to be a problem for anyone that faces them.
Just a train.
In this tournament. I mean, there's a part of me that wants to say, if they don't win this thing, I'd be surprised at this point. Is that too much? Am I going too far? And you've got them winning it in your bracket.
I do. I think myself and Maria are the only ones in the building, and we took Penelope's to win it all after they made the championship a year ago. But they won the first round 84-16, and then they won yesterday 70-30.
Their path looks like this. They've got Lead Belly next. Then they'll have the winner of Vic's Pizza, Paisano's, Chopsticks, Hell Yeah, in the Basil Championship. I mean, I don't know if I see. Hell Yeah, maybe. Historically, they've been good.
Yeah.
Maybe. Is Paisano's maybe going on a run this year? Maybe.
We'll see
if that's the best chance.
Can they get out of the, can Paisano's get out of the pizza matchup?
Yeah,
today,
the pizza matchup with Vic's. And Hell Yeah with a sneaky tough matchup, Chopsticks, too. I had Chopsticks last night. Went to a Munch Madness restaurant. Fantastic. Really good. I was I'd had them before, but it had been a while, so went over there and thought I'd check off a place on my Munch Madness list. All right, sound off time, guys. Where shall we start? Oh, this is where. Forget politics. Forget politics. This is where we are starting. Have you ever said, when you don't want to go to the gym, right, and you're like, I need to work out more, I need to lose weight, I need to get healthier, I need to get more fit, I just wish there was a pill I could take that would do that for me, right? I think everybody has thought that in some shape or form over the years. Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the future.
Researchers at the Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis say an exercise pill may soon offer the same benefits as a workout, using drug compounds that mimic muscle building and physical endurance. Lead professor Beha Eldrindi says his team has been working for a decade to find a solution to help those who have difficulty being active.
People with physical limitation who cannot move, who cannot exercise, people at very old age.
But it may also appeal to those who don't have time to work out or simply want to skip the sweat.
You think?
Skip the sweat.
A gym pill? Let's go. I am sorry that I complained about all of the things in modern society and the AI robot war that's coming. If we're getting workout pills, that changes everything. Because number one, we're going to take those and we're going to be so buff, we're going to be able to take out all the robots. Number one. Accurate, we're going to have like Schwarzeneggers running around everywhere at this point when we're just hitting these pills, like Barry Bonds style. So, number one, this is great. Man, all these things, I watched a video. You know what I watched a video of yesterday? This new technology that they've got, it was a man who had, it was a paraplegic who had a diving accident. He was in his 20s. And they've hooked up a computer for him that he can control the mouse just with his thoughts. That's, I mean, that was complete ridiculous science fiction. Like, ridiculous science fiction when I was, I don't know, 20 years old.
That's way into the future type of
like,
stuff.
Like, we are getting, like, workouts in pill form, science, people controlling their mouse with brains, the Pershing block having some development starting, all of these things we never dream. There's an article about the East Beltway today. We're going to talk about that in the morning drive. The future is here. Nebraska is making the NCAA tournament. We are living in the days we only imagined right now, folks. All right, what else do we have going on? Now, will there be enough people to enjoy all of these things? Global fertility, guys, on a big decline.
Is it because we're all taking workout pills?
No, nobody's doing that yet. They're just not having enough kids almost anywhere.
A study reported in the journal Lancet says global fertility rates are falling, and it predicts they will continue to shrink by the end of the century. According to the report, overall population's been declining in more than half the countries and territories studied where there are not enough births to sustain the current population. Only Somalia, Tonga, Chad, Niger, Samoa, and Tajikistan are expected to have sufficient fertility rates above the replacement level. The study, funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, concludes social policies to improve birth rates could include improved parental leave, free child care, and financial incentives. Sue Guzman, Fox News.
Well, all three of those things that they mentioned are money.
Yeah.
Like, it's expensive to, I know, okay, I know it's never been cheap to have a family. I'm just saying
right.
that everything is more expensive now than it ever has been. And you add on tiny humans to that.
Right.
That makes it tough. Right.
Well, there's no doubt for sure. I mean, people I know, just in my own friend group, people are waiting. Like, so we had our, we were 26 when we had our son. And that, in my group of friends, we were the youngest.
Yeah.
At 26. So.
I was just shy of 31. And even then. With my group of friends, there were some that at that point had some kids that were right. 3, 4, 5 years old. But at that point, I'm almost 31.
Right.
And I still had Millie 1 year, 2 years. There are some that are just now having their right. first in my group of friends. So we're coming mid-30s.
Mid-30s. Here. Yeah. Well, I've got a few friends that waited until, 30s, mid-30s. Now. The downside was when I was 26, I was the only one with kids. I wasn't getting to do all the things that they got to, you know, at age 26, 27, 28. Good news is.
But now.
Now I get to do stuff they don't. And that's great.
Look out, brewskis.
Yeah. Yep. Let's go. I'm calling them to do things all the time. They're like, I can't. I'm so tired. I'm like, come on. Let's party.
Your kid's old enough to walk. They're old enough to watch themselves. Get out here. Have a drink. We're watching the Huskers.
That's like the crap they would say to me. Come on, man.
Well, can't you just get a babysitter? Said,
I know. They're getting it paid back to them in spades now.
Oh,
man. All right. TikTok update. Caleb's worried about TikTok.
I am.
I don't think he's really that worried.
I'm making a living on the TikTok.
He's not enough of an influencer to worry. So now they've got to Senate's up on this next. House passed it. Senate's got to pass it. I think Biden will sign it. I don't know. When I say there, I don't know who I'm referring to. There are minors now lobbying Congress. Minors who, I guess, love TikTok. Who are lobbying, like, give us our TikTok. You know, give me my MTV is what we said.
Give us TikTok or give us death.
The House of Representatives worked quickly to pass the so-called TikTok ban, but it appears things are going to move much slower in the Senate. That is not stopping senators from being inundated with calls from constituents, including this threatening one made to Republican Senator Tom Tillis.
If you ban TikTok, I will find you and shoot you. That's people's jobs, and that's my only entertainment.
A spokesperson for TikTok did speak out on X, writing, threats like this are unacceptable, and we do condemn this in the strongest possible terms.
Okay. Yeah, kid, don't do that. Don't do that. That's going to get you in a bad, bad place. So.
I think there's a, yeah, there's a better way to contact your representatives.
She was laughing about it a lot right after the moment.
Wait, was
she said, that's my entertainment. What,
was that the contact your congressman challenge?
Probably. I'm sure that's a thing. I'm sure that's a thing. But, I mean, in some ways, TikTok would be the equivalent to, I mean, just like TV for us, probably.
Yeah.
The closest thing I could think of is if Congress said they were taking away TV when we were 13 years old.
Uh-huh.
I'm not saying they shouldn't, you know, they shouldn't make changes or they shouldn't be. I mean, I think they should be very concerned about the influence of the Chinese government on the whole thing. But
also, there's a lot better.
It's going to be just harder than anybody, I think, realizes.
Yeah.
Like, unless you've got kids of a certain age or are of a certain age, it's hard to really understand how widespread, how many hours,
uh-huh.
how central that is to so many people's lives.
Like, it may be, I'm out of the age range, is where it is.
But you still use it.
But like,
you're so cool.
I'm so cool and so hip with the youths. And
hello, fellow kids.
Hello, fellow kids. But like, I get some enjoyment out of it. I do get some entertainment out of it. But man, there are still so many other things to be entertained by. Like, to me, it has its place.
Yes. It's not your primary source, but for a lot of, especially kids, teenagers, it is their primary.
Yes,
their primary source.
Well, and I mean, I know a number of college age folks that not only is it a primary source of entertainment, it's a primary source of news.
Like
where to stay updated on information.
Right. But it's what I do. I mean, honestly, it's what I do with Twitter, which is why I am going to hold on to it despite how many dumb things happen with the person
right.
running it and what he does to the platform. I'm going to hold on to it as long as I can. Like, if they took that away from me, that's kind of where I would be.
Watch out for the messages, Congressman.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. But. Last but not least, another year, another list of the most popular dog breeds in the United States. You guys have a guess?
Is it a doodle?
We'll see.
The American Kennel Club says Frenchies are the most commonly registered breed in the U.S. for the second year in a row. It was Labrador Retrievers for 31 years before that. Labs are number two now, followed by Golden Retrievers, German Shepherds, Poodles, Dachshunds, English Bulldogs, Beagles, Rottweilers, and German Short-Haired Pointers. That number six ranking for Dachshunds is the highest since 2004. Cana Corsos, only counted since 2010, are up to number 16. The Bracco Italiano debuts in the standings at number 152. Chris Foster, Fox News.
Okay. A lot of that wasn't English by the second half.
I don't think you can do doodles because this must just be purebreds.
Okay, yeah.
I'm thinking. Because if you did, if you were really, this is by me and my own visual non-scientific survey at the dog parks, doodles are up there. All the types of doodles. But dachshunds are, too. There are a lot of dachshunds.
No, here are the top three dog breeds in the city of Lincoln.
Okay.
By the way, I view them. Golden doodles.
Got it.
Huskies.
You got it.
Corgis.
Corgis. Yes, corgis. That's a good point. I pretty much agree with that ranking.
I don't think I would be that far off.
But dachshunds are weirdly high. And then I don't know what all the of the really little dogs, I don't know what breeds those are. Like, I just don't know enough about dogs to know what breeds they. I don't know if they're all the same or different.
If it's smaller than a football, what are we doing?
654, no comment. It's LNK today. There are certain things I just won't comment on. It's LNK today with Jack and Friends on KLIN.
It's our weekly spotlight of pets for you to adopt from the Capital Humane Society on LNK Today.
All right, 6:56, we got Shayna Perry in for Matt from the Capital Humane Society. Hi, Shayna, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing well. How are you guys?
I'm good. I am good. In a perfect transition, we were talking about dog breeds, and now we can talk about dogs and maybe cats to adopt as well. Tell us what you've got going on at the Humane Society today.
Yes, I would love to. So we'll actually just go ahead and start with our dog. It's Audie. She's a 4-year-old Siberian Husky.
There it is.
She's black and white. And as you can see, so she's in her St. Patty's Day formal wear.
Oh, she is.
She has beautiful multicolored eyes. She was surrendered to the Humane Society, and she's just full of energy, and she can be a little bit of an escape artist. So we recommend a fence and yard for her, and she is very treat motivated, knows sit and lay down, and she's a great addition to any family who loves to hit the trails and explore.
All right, very good. What else we got?
Yep, and then second, we have Havana, and she's a beautiful 13-year-old white and orange tabby. So what I'd like to point out about her is her coat is pretty unique for a tabby, as it's mostly white with splotches of orange. Unfortunately, she was surrendered to the Humane Society because her owner passed away, but she's doing well here, and she's very gentle. And as you can see from the picture, she loves spending time with people and napping on laps.
All right, very good. How can people make an adoption if they're interested?
Yep, you can head to the Pilock Pet Adoption Center on 70th and Nebraska Parkway. Our hours are 11:30 to 7 today and tomorrow, and then Saturday and Sunday, noon to 5. And you can visit us at capitalhumanesociety.org.
Very good. Hey, thanks so much, Shanna. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon, all right?
Yes, thanks, guys.
All right, there we go. That's Shanna from the Capital Humane Society. Okay. Here we go. 2 weeks left. They call it the penultimate episode for this season.
And do you know how much your lead has shrunk?
Did you guys play last week?
We did.
Oh, Doug. What happened?
A lot of just misses.
For everyone?
Just misses everywhere.
So
for Gen X.
So I shouldn't be comfortable anymore.
No, you should not.
You hear... I'm putting up the Gen X bat signal.
Just kidding. He did okay. He did
just
okay.
Just kidding. You guys are going to
like, he didn't run away with a lot.
Okay. Still, this is our chance. We cannot. Are you in second now, or are the boomers in second?
No. Actually, as a matter of fact, millennials got worse.
Yeah.
We are bad.
That's the important thing. 31 degrees in the capital city. Listen for that cue to call if you want to play Generation Collaboration Baseball. Tickets at stake. 7 o'clock, KLIN.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Check of your time saver traffic.
Live from the Momo Pizzeria and Ristorante Studios at 44th and O, morning radio for the entire capital city. This is LNK Today with Jack and Friends on the Voice of Lincoln, 1499.3 KLIN.
All right, welcome back, 710 LNK Today with Jack and Friends on KLIN. It's time for Generation Collaboration. You give us a call, you tell us what generation are, you pair up with either the boomer, Mark, the X, me, or the millennial, Caleb, and you try and get those questions right about your generation. And then we throw in an extra point at the end for the scoring. Right now, the X's are in first place. The boomers are in second. The millennials are in third. The millennials have won this competition 4 seasons in a row. So we're trying to wrest the crown from the millennials. Still have some lines open, so you can call right now. But we are starting out with X's, us. Chris in Olathe joins us right now. Hello, Chris. How are you doing today?
Good.
Good. Hey,
trying to redeem from last time being out on the first question ever between the two of us. We got to redeem.
We do
have
to. We're
going to get that question.
Yeah, we have some synergy because I was I drove by your home city. We stayed in Lenexa on the way back from spring break. Nice. So, it's good.
All right.
Let's go. All right, Mark, I'm ready for my questions.
Oh, wow. One and out. Yep.
Wow.
Which Austrian performer released the hit Rock Me Amadeus?
I know.
That was Falco.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm trying not to jump over people.
Oh, jeez.
Which iconic pop singer stars in 1987's Moonstruck?
It's Cher, I think.
Okay.
This British soap set in the fictional borough of Walford aired in the U.S. on PBS.
Oh, geez, a British soap? God, I probably know what this is, but I can't. A British soap in Walford. What was
the fictional borough of Walford?
What were the shows that were on PBS? Like Nova? That's not what it is, I know, but like... Nova. Well, I'm thinking of 80s PBS shows. Nova, Masterpiece Theater. What was? I'm going to be mad when I can't think of this because I think I know what it is. I remember when it was on when I was a kid because I wanted to watch Sesame Street or Mr. Rogers, and this British soap was on, and it was terrible. I don't think I know the name.
Oh gosh!
Do you know
British soap in Walford?
Yeah, Walford doesn't help me. I remember it.
Walford.
Walford, regardless.
Walford. Well, that does, I don't know if that, I'm just trying to think of a British soap.
Yeah, it was, I remember it being on, it was like, I don't know the name of it, so, I mean.
Well, there's only one that I could remember.
What's that?
And it was like, it was called like EastEnders, does that sound right?
Okay, let's go with that. EastEnders. What?
Oh!
Okay.
I was like, was it in Walford?
I don't know. All right, what else we got, Mark?
This UK prime minister won a rare third term after the 1987 election.
Would that be Thatcher?
Yeah, has to be.
That Margaret Thatcher.
This tabletop game has players pressing levers to eat as many marbles as they can to win.
Hungry, hungry hippos.
Hey! We did it! We got through five. Mark, why don't you give us, what do you want to do, Chris, a boomer or millennial for our extra point?
Well, we've done millennial. I don't know. If the thing about the boomer questions, I hit them about 50%.
Okay.
Let's
do a boomer. Let's stretch ourselves. That obviously was pretty easy for us. Let's do boomers.
Okay.
Boomers, Mark.
Try it. We'll try it.
Yeah, if you don't get this. What actor played the Beaver in the hit TV show Leave It to Beaver?
Oh, that was Jerry Mathers.
Yeah. Good job, Chris. We did it. I assume you're not coming down here Sunday. There you go. I assume you're not coming here Sunday to watch baseball, though.
No. Yeah, somebody hang on. You can win the ticket.
All right.
So, yeah, don't. Yeah, I would love to go to a baseball game, but not going to happen this weekend.
Thank you, Chris. The X's extend their lead. I appreciate it. There you go. Chris in Olathe gets a W for the X's. 402-479-1400. The lines, this is very uncharacteristic for this game. The lines are empty right now.
Is season five of Generation Collaboration coming to an earlier end than what we said?
You know, this is 6 minutes left in the basketball team. The home team is up by 17 points. The road team is starting to think about, hey, I'm looking forward to getting dinner after this thing. We got a long, long bus ride home.
Boomers after are about this to is go all on over. A 3-point streak.
All right, let's see. And you've got the man to do it for you because Charlie is joining us right now. Morning, Charlie. How are you?
Good, Jack.
All right, you ready to go for it with the Boomers?
Yeah, sure.
All right, Boomer questions. Go for it, Caleb.
Here we go. Theo Kojak is a detective for what city's police department?
Well, I remember the show.
Yeah, it was Telly Savalas that played
everything.
Yeah, how come we couldn't get that question, Jack?
I don't know.
Seemed like it was a West Coast city.
Well, I was going to say either New York or L.A., so...
Yeah, I don't... It, for some reason, West Coast just sticks in my mind, but I don't know.
Well, if it's West Coast, it's got to be L.A. It's not going to be Oceanside or something.
Yeah. All right, L.A. Oh, not L.A. Where was it, Caleb?
New York.
All right.
Sorry, Charlie.
There you go.
Wasn't there
on the West on the West Coast of the Atlantic Ocean? If you think about it. All right, back to the phones. All right, back to the phones. Who is this? I don't know who. There's no name.
Hey, this is Andrew.
Hey, Andrew. How are you?
I'm great.
Great. What generation?
Millennials.
Good. Let's not be awful.
Oh no.
We've been rough the last couple. Weeks.
Okay. I'll just. All right. What actress portrays Wednesday Addams in 1991's The Addams Family?
Oh, no.
Not the current one.
It's Christina Ricci. I can help you out on that one.
Oh, geez.
All right, Christina Ricci. Look at us go.
Okay, this is unfair. This American musician is best known as the lead singer for alternative rock band Pearl Jam. Just played a song 25 seconds ago.
This is terrible. I know Pearl Jam. I can't think of his first name as Eddie Vedder. I don't know.
Yeah, we're going to go with Eddie Vedder.
Eddie Vedder, yeah. Yes, that's right. Eddie Vedder is his whole name, yes. It's not just, yeah, all right. This reality game show was hosted by Joe Rogan.
Oh, that was Fear Factor.
This TV drama follows a group of women as they confront the darkness of their suburban world.
Andrew, that's got to be Desperate Housewives, right?
You know, it's as good as a guess I could go with. Desperate Housewives.
Regarded as one of the first social media outlets, on what website could users post biographical and photographic information?
That sounds like MySpace.
All right.
Boom. Look at us.
The millennials. So everybody's, wow, nice.
Making a comeback.
MySpace. All right, you guys want an X or a boomer for your extra point? You need your points here.
Let's go X.
X. First X question. Who were the founders of Microsoft?
This boomer knows that one.
That's Bill Gates, right?
Bill Gates and...
Oh, Caleb.
Oh, God. And? Jeez.
I got
two people. Two people. You know the other one, Caleb?
I don't know the other one.
All right.
I do.
Mark?
Paul Allen.
Correct. Paul Allen. There you go. They don't get the extra point. He still does get the win and gets prize. Nice job, man. You did it, Andrew. Good job. The millennials get a much-needed win. Probably not enough at this point for the millennials to come back and get their third win, but they do get it anyway. So Andrew wins a prize. All right, we got time for some more, and we've got someone on line three, but I don't know who it is. Good morning. Who am I talking to?
Brett.
All right, Brett. Xer, yes?
Yes.
All right.
I'm not playing for tickets. I'm just playing for
pride. All right, playing for pride with the X's. All right, Mark, let's see if we can do it again here.
Which group released the romantic rocker I Melt With You?
I don't know that one.
Oh, my God.
You know that one, Jack?
I'll stop the world and melt with you. You say the difference, and it's getting better all the time. Modern English. Eddie, I had to sing it to figure it out.
Eddie Murphy first gained national popularity by starring on what late night series?
Saturday Night Live?
Yep, I would agree.
Most valuable player Bobby Orr holds the record for the most points and assists in a single season by a defenseman in which sport?
I thought you were going to ask.
I believe this is I know this from The Simpsons, actually. I think it's hockey.
Yeah, it is. That's the most Brett way to know the answer to that question. That's hilarious. Okay.
This actor married I Know What You Did Last Summer co-star Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Oh, I know that one. You know that, Brett?
No, I don't know that one.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
You don't have to run a single mile to support this 80s fashion.
What was a single mile? Oh, probably jogging suits, I would assume.
Jogging
suits or tennis shoes or sneakers, but I bet it's jogging suits.
To support this what?
80s fashion.
You didn't have to run a single mile to sport this 80s fashion.
Yeah, probably.
It's got to be jogging suit. Yep, jogging suit.
I don't think that's exactly what they were called.
No,
they're called joggers.
Sweatsuit?
Nope. Close.
What would you have called? We called him a jogging suit, and that's why that goes along with the question referencing running.
What do you run on in competition?
Sneakers, running shoes. I'm drawing a blank on what this is called.
Yeah, I don't know. I would have said jogging suit. So maybe we're wrong. Just say we're wrong if we're wrong.
And they're tracksuits, right?
Yeah, tracksuits.
All right, you guys, you two make the call.
You make it. You're the tracksuit.
Oh, yeah, there we go. All right, fine. Brett, we might have got... This is what happens when you're at the top. This is what happens when you're at the top. Seriously.
Don't leave it up to me.
Seriously. I bet the textures are revolting right now. I bet they are absolutely sickened by what they just heard on their radio.
No, nobody has come to your support. Not yet. I'm sorry.
It takes a while for them to type it out.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Or voice text, if it were my case.
7 minutes of voice text, yeah.
All right. I think we're done. We don't have any more callers. We're done. Everyone's given up. Everyone's trying to screw Generation X right now. Geez. So after that, do people even want to play anymore? You get a rigged system, and you wonder if people even want to participate. Have this too many more times, you're not even going to have a game anymore.
Oh, God. Anyway, Gen X still out in front, followed by boomers. Millennials are at least making it respectable.
One more week. Well, I mean, what kind of chaos is going to go on that week to try and rig the thing? Who knows?
Which right now makes...
Stop the count.
Until next week, officially, we have the interim leaders as Gen X.
All right, and I think we have one more baseball pair of tickets we're going to have to give away at some time. Maybe a text contest, Caleb, with that?
Brad in Ashland says Big Ten refs. Chris Nolatha says you guys missed that.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, school buses, if you come across anything that gets in your way, call the traffic hotline 402-479-1414. Keeping you moving with Time Saver Traffic, I'm Chris Lofgren.
It's time to count them down. The five things you'll be talking about today. This is the Morning Drive, presented by Stonebridge Insurance and Wealth Management on 1499.3 KLIN.
Well, I guess we ought to count them down, shall we?
I suppose so.
Number five.
University Board of Regents named Dr. Jeffrey Gold priority candidate for the university system president position. It was a meeting yesterday morning. Dr. Gold is the chancellor at UNMC, but he also served as UNO's chancellor from 2017 to 2021 and actually served those dual roles during a quite an interesting time. That's also during the pandemic.
That's right. We had him back when we were doing the afternoon show here for a while during the pandemic, Road to Recovery, I believe it was called. He was a frequent guest with us. He would Zoom us from his office and come on the show with us and talk about some of the issues that were going on with the pandemic and the research that was going on at UNMC and those sorts of things. That's been my greatest personal interaction with him, other than knowing what he's done at UNMC as the chancellor. And from talking to other people and hearing, you know, a lot about, I mean, I think one of the biggest legacy is just the expansion and the building that has gone on around UNMC and just how much that campus has changed.
Just think of the worldwide news and the position in the world that they have dealt with. They handled some of the first Ebola cases years
ago. That's right.
That's right. And the COVID patients that were the first to come there.
So. For sure. You know, Cornell University went there. Cornell College of Medicine graduated in 1978. His resume is so long, I can't even go over it. It's so long, but ended up here at UNMC. And... I'm curious if there was a desire to have someone and it sounded like there was connected some connection or some familiarity with the state or with the university. I'm a little curious why it took as long as it did with him. This isn't a critique of the process and how long it took, but I wonder if and who the detractors were for this choice, because on paper it checks a lot of boxes.
Well, there's two immediately that I like. One is familiarity with the system,
right?
And the second is a history of being able to tap into fundraising here in the state,
right?
And when you're looking at, especially with this position's new power with Husker Athletics, those are two things that you need to have.
Yeah, for sure. So,
no, my guess is if anybody that may have been a detractor, as you mentioned, probably did not want to move him out of that position at UNMC.
That could be. That's a good point.
You know, because that is such a successful program.
That's a good point. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know enough to know about what the relationships are like in Omaha and still with UNO, because he had obviously previously connected there as well, and with the current UNO staff and regents and those things, how all of those relate. I mean, I know there's a lot of, I say politics, and by politics I don't mean, you know, policy debates, but I mean just relationships and those sorts of things that go on with these things. And we're going to get to the athletic department in a moment. But, Caleb, I know, you know, we had Joe Jordan talking on the show on Tuesday. And he's not the only one who had said this, that he thought this was the candidate that Trev Alberts wanted. So I've talked to more people. I don't think that's the case.
Yeah.
I've talked to a lot of people yesterday, and I kind of went with what Joe said. And because other people were saying it, I don't think that's the case anymore.
No, and I think there was a little bit of a rift, and I don't know where, like exactly maybe when it would have started or where it was. But
because they have been close.
Yes, they had been, clearly.
Trev was a roaster when they put Dr. Gold's name on the floor of the Omaha Press Club.
2 years ago, yeah.
2 years ago, yeah.
Sometime between there and recently, a rift obviously happened from what we've heard between Trev Alberts and...
Yes.
Presumptive soon-to-be president.
Priority candidate.
I don't know what to call any
priority
of this.
Priority candidate, yeah.
Just get it through so I can just call him
and
president.
And I don't even know if it was a personal rift, but I don't know, but I don't think this would have been... This makes a lot more sense. I don't think this would have been Trev's choice, probably, for... Honestly, I think it probably deals with fundraising for large projects.
Yeah.
And where the priority is for that would be my guess in how that all broke out. So, but you know what's interesting, Mark? They spent a long time in closed session yesterday, right?
Yeah, they did. Way longer than for it to be a unanimous vote.
Like,
of course, I can understand. You know, once they decided, they wanted the unanimous vote in the public vote. So,
yeah, I mean, did they go in knowing that they were no longer deadlocked? Were they deadlocked when they went in that room?
They had to be deadlocked. Or at least had one or two dissenters.
That's, yeah. But they didn't appear that way when they came out, though.
No.
I listened to all the public comment afterwards. And the other thing to add on to this is Regent Scheer, before they announced who it was going to be, he took the mic and he said, look, and paraphrasing a bit here, but he said, there have been some discussion about how long this process took. Here's why it took the time that we did. We thought we did it in a very reasonable amount of time. We thought we did it in the right way and kind of went through that process. And that was coming off of the heels of 6 days ago, 7 days ago, the governor essentially saying, hey, you guys need to stop dragging your feet on this whole thing. So yeah, that was interesting, too.
That was right after Trev Alberts announced he was leaving.
Yeah, and that was on Thursday.
So
yeah.
it was a double-edged sword there.
Yeah. So... You got that one taken care of.
And remember, Pillen was, 7 years on the Board of Regents?
Yes.
Was chair of it when Ted Carter was hired.
That's right. That is right. So, in other news...
Number four.
Interim president of the system, Chris Kaborek, announced yesterday morning, new athletic director.
So, it's going to be, if you probably heard by now, Troy Dannon. He was at the University of Washington. Had only been there for about 6 months. Prior to that, he was at Tulane and Northern Iowa. I got Iowa roots, got Midwest roots. Mm-hmm. from what we've heard from him and other, the little bit we've heard from him, but others as well, it sounds like the geography and the proximity to family and other people was a key situation here for his decision, Caleb.
Yeah, I mean, his family had not moved out to Washington with him yet. And that's,
he'd been there since October.
And that's a little bit reminiscent of Matt Rhule's first spring here. So a year ago, where it was pretty much just him because his family hadn't made the move from Carolina. So for Dan and his still had the family hadn't moved out. But you've got extended family with him being from Iowa, went to Northern Iowa, worked at Northern Iowa, worked in the high school athletics system in Iowa. So like there are a lot of roots immediately here in the area. So he's right next to that. There's some of the talk about kind of a lateral move from Washington, Nebraska, just like Trev Alberts, Nebraska to Texas A&M. I would argue that this makes more sense beyond the power stuff that we talked about with the president and the Board of Regents. This makes a lot more sense for a lateral move when you are moving closer to home, closer to family.
So I have a couple of thoughts on this from the Nebraska end of it. Why did it happen before Nebraska got a president? Mm-hmm. Why did it happen before Nebraska got a president? And was the man who was about to be named president, who was actually, they were in closed session when this broke, mm-hmm. when Pete Thamel tweeted it out. They were in, the regents were in, and about, so we knew who the athletic director was before we knew who the priority candidate for president was. Was there conversation between Kaborik and Dr. Gold mm-hmm. about this, or anyone else, right? Did Dr. Gold give his thumbs up on it beforehand, or was he not in? Was he completely out of the loop? I don't know the answer to that, yeah, but
where,
I wonder
where was everybody because in the process.
Otherwise, he comes in with somebody he's been given for this position. The athletic director comes in with a boss that he doesn't know mm-hmm. coming in to this position. Which I'm, if that's the case, like man, I can't imagine making that jump and not knowing who your boss is, right?
That's what we said yesterday. Yeah.
And not like having extensive conversations with that person. So I don't know if that happened or not. But what I do think happened, I think Matt Rhule gave a strong vote of confidence. I think that is the best way that I can surmise that something like this happened that fast. Mm-hmm. I think Matt Rhule gave a strong vote of confidence about this. Dannon has a strong connection to a man named Dr. Patrick Kraft. He is the athletic director at Penn State. He was the athletic director at Temple when Matt Rhule was there. Matt Rhule talks very fondly about Dr. Kraft.
Fred Hoiberg would have also had some positives about Dan.
Yes, yeah. And he said he knew him. He said he knew him from since high school as well. So if there were conversations with Hoiberg, he obviously was familiar with that whole thing and he wasn't going to have to learn about someone new. But I think there was a priority to make Rhule happy with this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And my guess is that connection between Kraft, who Rhule name-dropped in his press conference the other day.
On Monday, yeah.
Name-dropped in his press conference. I don't know how it happened exactly, but I would not be surprised at all if there were some phone calls and Patrick Kraft was involved in this and saying, hey, this is the guy, mm-hmm. Matt, that I think would be right for you, and that was probably enough.
And trust is a big thing for Matt Rhule, yeah. So that would be somebody that he would trust their opinion on who could be that guy for him.
I, if that's my best explanation I can give you for it moving that quickly. Still a little surprised. I do wonder if Gold had the conversations with the new athletic director, if Kaborik had the conversations with Gold, Mark, they might not have even known when they went in the room for the closed session that Gold was going to be the guy, and the athletic director, it was already done. Mm-hmm. The ink was already dry on that one when they went into the room.
It's a possibility, so, but you just have to believe that there was some conversation.
I would think so.
And maybe, just like you said, a thumbs up. Yeah, I'm fine with that.
I would think so. I honestly can't imagine it happening without that.
I mean,
maybe the Gold decision was made earlier than we realized.
Or the two candidates that we were aware of,
or they both gave the thumbs up.
Yeah.
They talked to everybody who might be the next president. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe. You're right.
That's a good point.
You're right.
I mean, with the money that's involved in Nebraska athletics,
right?
Any new incoming president would want to know that position is solid.
100%.
When you've got your football coach giving it a thumbs up, I would probably say, okay, let's proceed.
That's just fascinating.
And besides,
to me,
over the next 30 days, they're not going to have time to look for an athletic director. They're out being vetted.
Right. I thought they would wait until May to do this thing with the athletic director. I honestly did. I thought they could do that. And listen, on Dannon, you know, he's made some really good hires for football coach. He's been very involved with the governance of football on the NCAA level. He didn't do enough of Washington. He made a good hire, it appears, for football coach. There's nothing you can judge from his tenure 6 months there. Tulane, you know, you can take a look at it. What I'm saying is his resume doesn't scream you have to get this guy if you have the chance. Right, Caleb? Is that... I don't think his... This is not a critique of the hire, but Dannon's resume isn't like one where like, oh my gosh, we have this once in a lifetime chance for this type of candidate. Yeah.
No, like, so, it's a good hire. It's not one where and he was up in...
There had to be something else.
And he was a finalist in 2022 while he was at Tulane for the Athletic Director of the Year Award nationally. But you're right. It's not one where you look at it and you're like, man, he's been at even somewhere like Stanford with what they've had with kind of their athletic success across all of their programs, or what Alabama has done with football. Like, it's a good resume. Don't get me wrong. But you're right. It's not one that you looked at and went, you have to now.
Which is why I'm saying there had to be something else. And I think that is a Matt Rhule stamp of approval.
Agreed.
That's me trying to piece things together. And Kevork said there were tons of people who were interested too,
and that doesn't surprise me. I bet there were a lot of
it's
interest.
Just really fast for that.
But his experience in the, as you mentioned, I think he used the term governance of football. That's been his big strong point.
Yes, correct.
What I read,
correct.
And with all the craziness that's going on with these different conferences,
you're right.
That experience could play a big factor in moving the program here forward.
Totally agree. Totally agree with that. All right, we got to move on.
Number three.
1011 News got a story. They popped it yesterday with County Engineer Pam Dingman and maybe a little progress on an East Beltway.
Let's go. By progress, what do we mean by that exactly?
Senator Bo Ballard dusting off some legislation after that initial kickstart last year failed. Maybe that will get him going. 112th, 134th Street. You know, connecting, you got to plan ahead. And as Dingman said in the story, every year that you don't do it, prices go up 5 to 10%.
Well, I'm glad we've got the stakeholders who are in on this and are trying to make this thing move, because she's exactly right. I agree with everything she said about this. She said in that story, the business community is behind this. The agriculture community is behind this. I go door to door. I talk to constituents and they're like, hey, when are we getting the East Beltway? And I say, hopefully soon. Keep telling people. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the reviews are at the South Beltway, honestly, at this point, Mark. And maybe still too early. But
well, I think the reviews are the fact that the traffic and the truck traffic, especially on Nebraska Parkway, is greatly reduced.
Right.
The East Beltway is actually going to be more beneficial to...
Oh.
People living in Lincoln and Omaha that are trying to get to and from work.
I'll drive the East Beltway 50 times more than I ever would the South Beltway. For me. Yeah. I know it's different depending on where you live and where you're going, but you're right, Mark. There's some people who are like, hey, I would have done the East Beltway first.
Yeah.
But I'm glad. Listen, I'm just glad to hear this thing isn't dying and that there are people who are, like Senator Ballard and Pam Dingman, who are being assertive in trying to move this thing along. All right, we got to keep moving.
Number two.
A legislative proposal that would allow prosecutions of K-12 school officials or librarians if they provide what's considered to be obscene material to minors. It failed to advance yesterday.
So this was the bill that was behind all of the hubbub this week.
Yes.
That Halloran was reading.
And Senator Halloran, yes. Which, by the way, he's not resigning. It sounds like they are starting an investigation in the executive committee on him. And then there's also going to be a bill that is brought for a censure of him as well. So I said censure of him.
There's a three-person, three-legislator committee that is going to be appointed to investigate a workplace harassment.
Yeah, so that's where that left off. So they'll discuss it on the floor some more. If there's a censure bill, I assume there's going to be a public hearing on the whole thing then too. So bring it more into the public eye again than would just an investigation by the committee that you're talking about, if they both happen. So, all right, and as you said, yeah, the bill, after all that, the bill didn't even have enough votes to get forward.
Yeah,
but
falls short.
Yeah, you're right. And again, there was I heard a lot of misstatement about the bill. This was about affirmative defenses for K-12 school officials and librarians. It wasn't banning a new thing that was banning books. It was simply saying, if they're doing this in the course of their job, they can use it as a defense to a criminal prosecution for obscenity, which, by the way, doesn't really happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote the state's brief for one of the biggest obscenity cases that was out there back when the state sued someone named Dr. John. Do you know that name? Back when I was a law clerk, I wrote the state's brief. You can look it up, State versus Haltom. And you can read all about the term prurient interest and what that means, because I wrote a long brief about it. It was a real interesting case for a law student to be handling.
Number one.
Coming next year, compostable K-Cups.
By the way, when I looked at the sheet, I didn't read compostable pods. I read combustible, and I went, what is going to happen?
No, Keurig is getting rid of its plastic, and so have you seen these things, Mark? They're like little brown... They look like a bunch of dirt bunched up together. They've got a plant-based skin that basically holds them in, and they just produce coffee grounds.
You're selling it to me.
This is all over. Whatever, if it tastes the same.
Yeah.
If it tastes the same and it costs the same, which I don't know if it will. But here's the thing. Your current Keurigs can't use these.
Oh, so it's a way
you got to buy a new Keurig.
Yeah.
That's where they get.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Live from the Momo Pizzeria and Ristorante Studios at 44th and O, morning radio for the entire capital city. This is LNK Today with Jack and Friends on the Voice of Lincoln, 1499.3 KLIN.
All right, greetings. Welcome in on your Thursday morning. 31 degrees in the capital city. Glad to have you back with us. It's March 21st, 2024. 3 hours till the games begin. Make sure and get everything done that you need to get done, really probably until Monday in the next 3 hours, because if you're like me, ain't going to be a real productive time after that.
Everything's going to stop.
Yeah. Anyway.
But not for Grow Lincoln.
Not for Grow Lincoln. No. They're going to work right through it. They're not going to watch any basketball. Maybe they're not. Anyway. Guys, glad to have you with us. Robin, Dave, good morning. How are you today?
Thanks for having us.
Yes,
guys.
Yes.
Good morning, gentlemen.
You with us. Let's jump into the news. Okay, Robin, you are going to have to help me with this one. You sent a link to me to an email in the Des Moines Register that you were sent by listener John. Okay. Yes. This is about a new sports apparel store that is coming to downtown Lincoln in June. Is that so far correct?
Yes, that is what John sent us. A link to a newspaper article.
The Des Moines Register had it that it was coming to Lincoln. What can you tell us about the article and who is coming exactly?
Okay, this is opening in June at 1219 P Street, which I think is across the street from, there used to be another sports apparel place out there. They owned one there, or maybe it was 11th and P, and they owned a store there, and they owned one at the Alamo Shopping Center, and then they sold them and moved to South Point Mall. And
it was Husker headquarters, and then it was Alumni Hall.
Yeah,
and,
so this is either across the street or a block away from, and on the other side of the street from that. Okay, so this is called Ray Gun, and according to the Des Moines Register, they have licensing deals with UNL Volleyball for apparel. They have particularly witty shirts that say things like, Nebraska has the best corn. The Des Moines.
They're a Des Moines-based company.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Have you been to a ray gun?
No, I don't know. Do you know about this?
Yes, I've been to one.
I've been
Tell
to one
Tell me about
in Des Moines.
This real quick.
So for you and maybe some of our listeners, the best description I can give is we know Triple B screen printing.
Right.
It's a brick-and-mortar version of that.
Ooh. Okay, a competitor.
Is the best way that I can describe that, to where things happen, they roll out some, like, a witty saying on a shirt, and then that goes into their store. And, yes, they've done NIL deals, not with just Nebraska, but because they're based in Iowa. They've done it with other universities. But, yeah, it's a brick-and-mortar T-shirt shop to where you're going to get very original things that you don't typically get from, say, like the Husker shop.
Okay.
And apparently,
or a lot of other online places.
Well, apparently this is a very opinion-based company because it stated in the article that this Des Moines-based company is attracting Democratic presidential candidates this caucus season and has also formed a partnership
Hold on. There's one Democratic, right. Maybe two at most Democrats. So,
I guess in Iowa?
Okay.
I don't know.
Can anybody even name the other guy besides Biden that dropped out?
I don't know.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So the attracting presidential candidates this caucus season and has also formed a partnership with the Nebraska State Education Association and Planned Parenthood.
What? Okay.
Yeah, they're very upfront, very public about this. And then they decided to jump into the Trev Alberts controversy as well. We signed a lease for a spot in downtown Lincoln, Reagan said in an email to customers. And Trev Alberts decided to move to Texas the same day. Don't worry, Trev, you're safe now because we will never open a store in Texas. Not ever. Not for a zillion dollar bucks.
What in the world is going on with this place?
But this is their
that's just kind
schtick.
Of yeah, that's their thing. That's okay. Their bit.
Okay. And making political alliances and putting those out there too.
Folks, we are experiencing the politicization of absolutely everything in our lives now. We can't even go to a sports apparel store anymore.
Wow, I don't care what side you do that on. That can't be good for business. But okay,
alienate 40% of your customer base right off. Yeah.
Anyhow,
there was not
I've
a
said
time
that before about a lot of things.
There was not a time when I was in Des Moines because I made several trips to the ray gun store there, always full.
Really?
Always full.
Fun place to shop.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. And the Des Moines Register broke this story. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. And now, go Lincoln.
Okay.
Okay. Well, and that's supposed to be opening in June, you say?
That is their target.
June. Yeah. All right. You ready for football season and volleyball season? All right. Let's move now to, Southeast Lincoln. What do we got?
Well, opening in April, hopefully, at 48th and Old Cheney in the former High Society Cheesecake space. And this company is Rose Cat Coffee Company. And we got this information thanks to Shannon from the Lincoln Chamber of Commerce for this tip. She said that they are crafting a community that champions inclusivity, fosters connections and empowers individuals with intellectual development disabilities, of which 80% of these individuals are unemployed nationwide. So Rose Cat Coffee Company and Reading Society are actively seeking to decrease this statistic.
Really?
And they're partnering with a few other people, and just a couple of them that we found out about are Coffee Roasters and the Down Syndrome Association for Families.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
I wonder what all they have planned when they talk about reducing that unemployment number.
They hire individuals that are disabled.
It sounds like it's more than that. I assumed that part of it. It sounds like there's more to it than that, though. Fascinating.
Impressive website. The website does a very nice job of conveying their mission and what they're trying to do. And it looks like your typical coffee offerings, you know, your typical mochas and cappuccinos and things like that. And then for the food, it talks about bakery items and that will just vary from... Wow.
But I think it's really one of those things, Jack, where if more people are exposed... to these folks,
and realize they have capabilities, maybe we'll get more people who will help.
I'm glad they're doing it. I'm glad, and there have been other businesses that have done this too and taken the lead, and I've been glad that they did it too. But this is cool. I hadn't heard anything about this, so I'm gonna share this along to some other people. And yeah, I know that I was wondering. I knew High Society had moved out by Super Target, so
right. Yeah.
They had that area right there and pretty prominent space. You know,
yeah. Well, it's a lot
of businesses right in there.
In the business, we call it an in cap space.
Right.
So,
this is a mom in Lincoln who's starting it. They had her picture on the website with three or four children. Said she'd been thinking about this for 7 years.
Cool.
Before she opened this business, she was a social worker.
Cool.
Prior to that.
Very good, Brenda. Okay. Very cool. All right. Find out more about that down the road, I'm sure. All right, moving on then. Nonprofit news, what do we have for this?
And this is kind of along a similar line. We announced a few weeks ago that Stride Autism is building a center up at 400 North 48th, which is 48th and R Street. Quite a substantial remodel going on over there. Well, just the other day, Hampton Construction announced that Autism Services of Lincoln has moved from Lincolnshire at 70th and A to Williamsburg at 40th and Old Cheney, and then out on 8600 Cody Drive, which would be...
Oh, that's about 14th and Yankee Hill area.
Yeah, the Yankee Hill area down near 14th Street. Lighthouse Autism is doing a $250,000 building project there.
Okay.
So a lot of services and facilities, and interesting to see.
Also great.
You know, it's interesting to see two autism services and then a Down syndrome related business,
yeah.
All in the South Lincoln area, all in the same basically week.
It's great to have that support. I mean, I know, yeah, it's good to hear that those things are continuing to expand, that they're present in our community and doing things. So glad to hear that. All right. Now going a different direction, we're talking.
Yeah, this is kind of
grain elevators, I guess.
Yeah. Well, we got alerted by Brad Hillhouse about, and this is a grain elevator at 3001 Cornhusker. It's a Hanson Mueller grain elevator. It's going to go up for auction April 18th. And just in case you wondered, what is the capacity?
I do.
It's a pretty good sized elevator. Right. 12,592,000 bushels.
A little small for what I need, but we'll see.
Dave,
I wanted to be up in the 20 million bushel area, but we'll see.
Dave, I'm remembering, am I remembering there was another grain elevator on our multiple listing service that was available for sale recently?
We've had a couple
like
of them.
Close to the downtown
area, yeah. And we've seen in... around the country where people have converted some of these grain elevators, particularly into residential.
We've been turning locations. Churches into residential. We've been turning up. What is this in the next step? Living in a grain elevator.
You know.
Oh, housing shortage. Might as well.
So there you go.
But this must not have worked out. Otherwise, they wouldn't be going to auction.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Who knows what's going on there?
Yeah.
All right. What else do we have?
Okay. Question and answer. Cindy Boeslager asked about the construction fence around Kelly's Carpet at 47th and Vine Street.
Mm-hmm.
This appears to be Vasa Fitness that is doing some construction work there. And they have an inclusive, non-judgmental atmosphere, I guess, for people who are self-conscious about working
right.
out. Which has helped them to expand to nearly 10 states. So this is a large franchise here. One of the top 20 largest health club operators in the country.
Interesting.
And they do the budget pricing, $9.99 a month.
Wow.
So, as low as, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Pretty good there. All right. So that's 47th and Vine.
I'm thinking, isn't there one of these exercise folks, fitness clubs, a judgment-free zone, I believe.
Yeah, I've heard that name before.
I think that's Planet Fitness.
I think Planet Fitness, kind of the similar model. You know,
it's important in your marketing of a gym. There's a lot of intimidation that goes along
with it. Well, I'm sure there is, particularly if you happen to be at a gym where there's some people who are just super serious and have been serious for years about fitness.
For sure.
Yep. It kind of explained something to me. We had a real estate tour over at the former Gold's Fitness. And it's like, I wonder if they knew about that or saw that coming or...
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, maybe they left first and then this one came. But, yeah, we've had so many announcements of fitness facilities, and some of them are... The smaller, more boutique, you know, with a certain kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we're definitely trying to offset all of these coffee shops and restaurants.
There you go. All right. What do we have coming up on Grow Lincoln this week?
This Friday on Grow Lincoln, Nate Bloom from Sorghum will be in to talk about the rural-urban divide here in Nebraska. Corey Hart from Nebraska Prep Equipment, he's going to be talking about workarounds for costly building codes if you're building out a new restaurant here in the Capital City. Roger Frank will be reporting on Nebraska stocks and their values. And Casey Bellitz will be in from the state of Nebraska. Why state economic development matters in Lincoln.
Okay. Saturday on Grow Lincoln, right?
Saturday at noon.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Very good. Rob and Dave, thank you so much. Shout out Robin and Dave, Grow Lincoln, Facebook, Twitter. If you've got any questions like they answer today, you can send them there and maybe be featured here on our segment or on their show on Saturday. Thanks for your time, guys. We'll talk to you next week. All right.
Thanks, guys.
8:24. We got sports and much madness results coming up next on KLIA.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Find someone who makes you as happy as this guy does when he says,
"Touchdown, Nebraska!"
It's time to go one-on-one with the voice of the Huskers, Greg Sharp. Brought to you by Bryant Air Conditioning, Heating, Electrical, and Plumbing.
All right, welcome back. LNK Today with Jack and Friends on KLI. And glad to have you with us on this Thursday morning. 8:38, 31 degrees in the capital city. It is time to talk, as you heard, to Greg Sharp. Greg, I just made the warning on the radio to everyone. 2.5 more hours of productivity for all of the employers in and around the capital city, and then the economy slows to a halt. I'll make the same warning to you. Make sure you get everything done that you can ASAP.
What a glorious day, right? I mean, we're going to bat wall-to-wall basketball for about 13 hours today and tomorrow.
Yeah.
It is fantastic. Love it. And, hey, we're a part of it. That even makes it better, right?
It's weird because normally, you know, for now 10 years, Nebraska has not been a part of it since 2014. And I still love the NCAA tournament. I love these Thursdays and Fridays. I'm always filling out a bracket and getting in the office contest and stuff like that and enjoying that. I almost forgot to fill out a bracket this year, Greg. I'm so focused on my own team, which is a weird place to be in. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean,
let's hit some of the actual newsy stuff and then finish with the fun stuff with the basketball. I guess the newsy stuff could be fun too, but I've got to get your reaction. I was taken by surprise yesterday. I thought it might be another month or more before Nebraska hired an athletic director, but here I am closing shop on the show at 9:00. I pick up my phone and there it is, the tweet from Pete Thamel that says Nebraska has hired Troy Dannon. Just curious, Greg, take me through kind of your when you found out what you knew and what your reaction is now.
Well, like you, I was surprised it was that quick. We had Chris Kaborik, the interim president, on Sports Nightly Monday night, and he kind of hinted that it was pretty interesting how intense the interest was in the job and some big hitters that had already applied and shown interest in that. And I'm like, okay. I thought it would take about 3 weeks. It took a week. And you know, also, I think that Matt Rhule's handprints are probably all over this thing as well, and rightfully so. I mean, Matt should have a huge say in this whole deal. And by goodness, Jack, how about those 12 minutes from him the other day in that opening statement of his press conference?
Yeah.
I mean, that was Man, I had chills. I mean, he hit every right note and talked about what a shame it is that we're playing A&M in both the basketball matchups, and it was terrific. But a little surprised it went this fast. I knew it would go way quicker than a lot of things happened, but boy, I did not think we here on Thursday morning would know who it is.
Yeah. You mentioned the same thing I said earlier in the show today. I thought the same thing about Matt Rule's fingerprints or handprints and on it, and I especially think the connection between Patrick Kraft at Penn State, who was at Temple Matt Rule, and I didn't realize, in doing some Googling yesterday, I found out just how close he was with Troy Dannon. They were both in the AAC together. Dannon was at Tulane. Kraft was at Temple with Matt Rule at the time. But it sounds like they are very, very close. And Kraft was also name-checked, if I recall, in that press conference that you referenced with Matt Rule. I wouldn't be surprised if somehow there was some kind of a connection there with this process, too. And I think that's probably what you're talking about as well.
Absolutely. And I think when Matt went to that podium Monday, he knew they were down the road on Troy Dannon already at that point in time.
Yeah.
And then you hear Fred Hoiberg's story last night about Troy used to referee his games. They know each other. They've texted already. I mean, I think Husker fans' initial reaction was, whoa, this is way too fast. But I think if you add together what Fred said yesterday and then what Matt Rule kind of hinted at Monday, I think we all should feel pretty good.
That you just probably answered my next question. But my next question was going to be, do you think the speed of this is because they found someone who is uniquely going to be very favorable to multiple head coaches, but especially Matt Rule in the athletic department, and that was a huge part and a huge qualification for the search, which I think it should have been.
No question. And I have a feeling, and we may be able to find this out whenever the press conference is for Troy, that I have a feeling he maybe applied for this job a couple of years ago when it came open after the Bill Moose resignation. So he may be, I mean, I think he's at Nebraska certainly on his radar. You know, he never moved his family to Seattle. So his family had still been down in New Orleans, and they're all, the wife and Troy are both from Iowa. This made sense for them to get back close to home and into the Midwest. So I think he's probably had Nebraska on his radar for a while. And I think when you have a Power 5 AD already looking at you, who your head football coach feels good about, I think it's all systems go at that point in time.
Yeah, we thought Trev left quickly at Nebraska. Can you imagine that? 6 months, October? He basically hired Jed Fish, and that's his big major move there. That's it. That's his legacy after he leaves, which is just crazy.
And he officially doesn't have it no longer opens a page on the GoHuskies.com site.
Oh, really? Interesting. And they got rid of their basketball coach too, I think.
Good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One question I've got, Gregor, that I've been asking, I don't know if you know the answer or not, but the one thing I know there was some people saying, hey, you got to get going on the athletic director. The governor even said that. I kept saying, man, I don't think they're going to be able to do that. I think the new president is going to want to make this hire, and I think the new athletic director is going to want to know exactly who the president is. I guess I was wrong about that. Apparently, everyone was willing to do that without having, knowing who the boss or knowing who the subordinate was going to be in this situation.
Well, I think the chess pieces were down the road quite a ways. There was an emergency Board of Regents meeting back on March 1st or 2nd. Can't remember what day. In fact, because we had Chris Kaborik on Sports Nightly that night, and we're going, Chris, what's going on? He goes, well, I'm not allowed in those meetings. But, yeah, so I think they were really close a couple of weeks ago. I think that it came down to two candidates, and it ended up being Jeffrey Gold, who I've met and talked to several times. He's a brilliant man. I think it's a really nice move, and he certainly understands the moving parts. So I think he kind of was already in place. I think they could tell Troy Dannon, here's ultimately the head of the systems. And if I'm Troy, I'm like, you know what? That's fine. I can work with anybody. I want to know what coaches I'm dealing with. What's my department look like? What's my budgetary things? And Nebraska's really in good shape in a lot of those things. And so I think Troy's like, I'm good. I'll be able to deal with anybody. Let's go. Let's start winning some games.
How do you think the re-signing of Fred Hoiberg and then eventually, I guess, Amy Williams plays into all this as well in the timeline? Because I think we were also surprised that happened when you didn't have a full-time athletic director.
Yeah, and hey, I think both of those things had been in motion for a month or so. I think Trev was putting those things into play before he walked out the door. And hey, it was nice of him to congratulate Troy, too, yesterday on social media.
Yeah, he's tweeting a lot. Anyway... Anyway, that aside. All right. Well, good. I think that covers everything that I wanted to cover with you, but that's a lot of great, great stuff in just a little short time on this. But as Greg and I were talking about off the air, it's, you know, it's kind of too bad that we're not talking entirely about basketball this week. Man, who would have thought that we would get to this week where not only the Nebraska women made it, but the Nebraska men for the first time in a decade, and that wouldn't be the first thing we're jumping into. Aside from the, hey, they're playing the Athletic Director Bowl, what do you think about this Nebraska men's basketball matchup against Texas A&M, a team that prides itself especially on offensive rebounding?
Well, it's an 8-9 matchup, right? I mean, those should be the closest games of the first round, and I think this one will be. A&M's really good. I think they're limited at times offensively, which, boy, Husker fans can relate to that kind of a team in the past, not this team, but some of the teams in the past where you play really hard, you do some things, you can't make a shot. They have that issue at times. But they do they crash the glass, and they're athletic up front, and you look back at some games that Nebraska has struggled at times with. That's kind of the formula to attack the Big Red. So there's some trepidation there, but I just like the way Nebraska's playing. And I think if you haven't stepped on the court with Nebraska, when they get their offense humming, they're really hard to defend. And I think that gives Nebraska an edge in this matchup. I think all the motivation is with Nebraska. I think there's a bunch of Husker fans, even maybe today, trekking down there to Memphis to be a part of this thing tomorrow. I like Nebraska's chances, but certainly it's not a layup game, nor should it be in the NCAA tournament, particularly with an 8-9 matchup.
You know, it doesn't take James Naismith to make this comment that I'm about to make, but boy, is Nebraska being able to shoot, just not shoot below average from three in this game feel big especially, because it feels like they're going to get shots. Maybe more open. It'll be interesting, too, how open Kasey can get and how they call, you know, the traditional chase Kasey around the entire floor and hold him defense that happens. But, boy, if they can just hit even where kind of normal where they are at three-point range, I think that's going to be a big factor in this game.
Yeah, I do. And you know, you think about NCAA tournament play, Jack, a lot of times they'll let them play a little bit more, maybe than the regular season. I don't know that in this matchup that's a great thing, but, hey, let's try to overcome that and get after the Aggies tomorrow night. And I'm with you. I like the way Nebraska's offense is clicking. Even you go to the Illinois game.
Yeah.
The first 25 minutes of that game, I mean, even with the 10-minute mark, Nebraska had like a 6-7 point lead in that game. This team's playing really well, and I just have a lot of confidence that they're going to put on a good show tomorrow.
Yeah. Yep. That Illinois game is still interesting. It's hard to believe now going back and looking at some of the scores. You just mentioned them. Like, I forgot Nebraska still had a double-digit lead, you know, well into the second half in that game. And by the end, it didn't even feel close.
Yeah.
And that brings up another thing that was an issue in that game, which, again, maybe if they let them play, one benefit of that will be, Greg, you're not dealing with foul trouble as much. But that's one thing that scares me for Nebraska.
The bigs up front.
Yeah.
For Alec and Matt.
They just don't have the depth with bigs.
Yeah. Right. And hardly anybody does. I mean, that's just an area that a lot of people come up short. You know, CJ didn't play with a flu bug. Rink had it a day or two before, but he kind of fought through it in the game against Indiana. He felt much better Saturday. But I think everybody's okay now. I haven't talked to anybody on the ground there today yet. But, getting CJ back will certainly be a help because, you know, his minutes and the wear on his legs – got taken away from Nebraska in that game against Illinois. And, hey, Illinois is playing great, right? I mean, look at what they did to Wisconsin. They came back roaring back in that game and took it all on Sunday. So, obviously, we lost to a team that's also playing very, very well.
Shannon is ridiculous. He's so good. Yeah. I was at when they played them in Lincoln last year, the game Gary got hurt in, and I was sitting there with my son, I think. No, it was with you, Caleb. We went to that game together. And you remember that? We sat there, and I think I said to you, I was like, Shannon is his in person. We were sitting close to the floor because we're VIPs. I remember saying to Caleb, I was like, I don't know if I've seen anybody that good, that impressive, just in person, physically, and once you get there on the floor. And that's what he's looked like since.
He's great.
Yeah.
Think about that. Texas Tech had him and that Lance McCullers, who's at Kansas and out for the tournament. They had them on the same team.
Jeez, that's right.
Down in Lubbock.
That's crazy. Who are you in your bracket? Who are you picking? You think Purdue's finally going to do it this year? Or are you going with the safe picks of UConn or Houston or something like that?
Yeah, I'm pretty chalky. I think UConn's the best team in the country. Doesn't mean they're going to win it, but they're really, really good. And Houston, I hate that they're on the other side of this bracket for us, but they just defend the heck out of you. It's hard to get a shot off sometimes against them. I don't know how you pick Purdue. I mean, Purdue just has laid too many eggs for me, much like Virginia, who was god-awful the other night in that play-in game.
Right.
And, I mean, those two programs just seem to kind of find the way to lose in March and not rise up. So I don't have Purdue losing game one, but I don't have them going all that deep in this thing. And I don't know that it's going to be a great, great tournament for the league. In fact, Illinois, the team we just referenced, they might be the last Big Ten team still playing.
Yeah, well, I think they, unless Purdue, if Purdue goes out early, I'm almost sure that they will be, because Northwestern's so beat down by injuries. I know Wisconsin had the run in the Big Ten tournament, but I still am not buying that they've completely turned it around. And Nebraska has to go. I mean, Nebraska's probably next, honestly, after all of that. And it's too bad, because the league needs some success in one of these tournaments, and maybe this will happen for Purdue this year.
Think about it, Jack. It's been over 20 years since the Big Ten has won an NCAA tournament. Michigan State.
Yeah.
We're back like in 2002 or something like that. I mean, the Mateen Cleaves team. Several decades ago.
There was that weird year in 2000 where I think like Wisconsin, Michigan State, well, maybe two or three teams from the Big Ten made it. But it's been forever, which is just, it hasn't gone well. Hasn't gone well in the NCAA tournament. Now, I don't know that Michigan State's going to have much of a run either this year, but they seem to do that a lot in March, so we'll see. Hey, I want to also ask real quick, because women also play on Friday. I don't know, Greg. I'm not going to pretend to know a ton about Texas A&M on the women's side, but I did look at their results this year. They've lost like seven of their last nine games going into this one. I'm sure the SEC is tough, but maybe, and I know I'm a homer, but man, I can't imagine the Nebraska women not handling them in this game.
I love the bracket for the women. I was delighted and thrilled to see them get to a six. I thought they might be on the seven line to get to the six. Yes, Oregon State's a really competent team, but if you start picking threes that you want to play, they might be the first one you want to get. I think there's a real shot of Nebraska making it to the second weekend in that tournament. And, hey, they're coming off a great run in the Big Ten tournament, so their confidence is really high right now. So I like the matchups. But, again, everybody that's there can play good ball at certain times, so don't take anything for granted. I'm just so happy, Jack, that the men's and the women's games are separated a little bit, and we're not having to go, get my remote going and back and forth with games. So we'll be able to celebrate for a couple of hours that men's win and then get ready for the women's game.
That'd be great.
At 9:30.
Hit the coffee in between, not the beer. Hit the coffee in between the two games. Not the champagne, or at least have a coffee chaser if you're going to do that, because 9:30, I've had a lot of people complain about the night, including my daughter. She's like, how am I going to stay up that late? I'm like, it's 13, you can do it. Come on, stay up late. But yeah, one quick note. I actually never saw any of it in person. I listened to the whole call because we were driving on vacation from Kootenai and Jeff, that Iowa championship. What a game that was on national TV. And it's all going to be about Caitlin Clark. We get it. And it's all going to be about I still haven't even seen the highlights or a whole lot of that from that game. But Nebraska must just have played incredible on that. If they play like that, I mean, they could really go on a run here.
No question. And boy, that one, I think the further away we get removed from that game, the more that's going to hurt, at least for me. They're up 8 with 2 minutes to go. They had a poor last possession in regulation that they could have won it. They had the last shot. Gosh, just how many times you get a chance to hang a banner and win a tournament like that? But you shake that off and move on and take the positives, what you just laid out with all that great play, and let's go after it, and let's make some noise and pop a couple of wins in this tournament. Boy, if that men's team wins, though, I think all bets off. We're going to be fireworks shooting off all over Lincoln.
I can't wait.
To pop that cherry, to win a tournament title, tournament game. Come on, this is unbelievable.
You just gave me goosebumps. I can't wait. And to make it full circle after this is all over, and especially with the women's team, but I think there's just so much optimism about so many of these programs. You know, softball, Jordy Ball eventually coming, but Nebraska softball has been good for a while. Basketball is returning a whole lot of these guys, at least in theory, right? And football, we're enthusiastic about Matt Rhule, but maybe no more than the women's basketball team when you see those freshmen, and then Alexis Markowski, who could be looking at a dominant year next year as well. man, there's a lot to like about what they've got coming back on that
and
team,
I,
too.
And I think Troy Dannon knew that. I think he'd studied that, and I think he knows he's walking into a decent situation. Let me give you a baseball number that might blow your guys' mind a little bit. Since the opening weekend of the season, so after Nebraska played at Globe Life, Nebraska is 14-3.
Yeah. Still in the top 10 of the RPI, too.
And just came through their two worst teams left to play in the RPI. They've survived that. It might be time to start thinking about postseason baseball.
Oh, boy.
This team's got cranked up, and here come the Aggies tomorrow.
Hashtag bring the KLIN-RV to a Lincoln Regional. Do it. It's been years. We got to get it again. Greg, great to talk to you. We covered a lot of ground there. Enjoy the games tonight, and hopefully we're talking about the Sweet 16, two Sweet 16s a week from now when we visit again, all right?
One quick plug, Jessica Cootie's in Memphis. She'll have full coverage of all that tonight on Sports Night. I'm looking forward to a full 2 hours of all of that.
Awesome. Very good. We'll be listening. Thanks, Greg. Have a good one, all right?
Thank you.
There you go, Greg Sharp. Voice of the Huskers, 8:56. We'll take a break. Wrap it up. It's LNK Today with Jack and Friends on KLIN.
You're listening to LNK Today with Jack and Friends on 1499.3 KLIN.
All right, fun show today. Hope you all enjoyed it as well. Tomorrow's Friday. Tomorrow's game day. Tomorrow.
Dancing day.
Today starts the big dance, but we're sitting on the sideline at the Punch Bowl today. Nervously waiting.
Because we know our song's coming.
We know our song's coming.
We put the request in.
We know our time's coming. And we're going to warm up those dancing shoes tomorrow morning on Request Line Friday. The theme... What are you dancing to for the big dance? That song that gets you moving, that gets you in the spirit, that gets you dancing. What will that be, especially given that we got a big night for Husker Athletics Friday night? Some might say an historic night for Husker Athletics, and hopefully celebrating and dancing the night away. I loved how Greg put it. Fireworks all over. Those are illegal. Don't do those. Okay. My dog would appreciate it too. But dance, that's legal. It's not Footloose. All right. We'll see you tomorrow. 9 o'clock. KLIN.